It's come to my attention that some of you haven't been in church since last year. And if that's the case, then I wish you a very happy new year and pray that together God will bless us as we seek to serve him here. School reports, even those words can do something to you, the school report. It does something to you if you were on the receiving end of one of those little envelopes, which sometimes were given to you to take home, but then after a while, people got wise and decided, no, it's actually better to post it because it might actually get into the hands of the person who needs to read this. There are also the people who spend hours just filling the things out. And so it probably does something to them as well when they hear those words, school reports. Thankfully, they've come on a lot since there was just some bland statement scribbled on it that satisfactory could do better. Whenever I was teaching in Kenya, the headmaster in the school just had the same little phrase he wrote in the bottom of every report, and he simply wrote, pay your fees and cut your hair. And it didn't matter whether you were bald and had paid your fees, they just pay your fees, cut your hair. That was it. School reports. There are some wonderful comments that have been written in reports over the years. An English teacher who wrote, your handwriting has improved dramatically. Unfortunately, this has revealed your inability to spell. History teacher, Henry Ford once said, history is bunk. You have proved that to be true. Geography teacher, this girl does well to find her way home. Not all of them were as humorous or as kindly as some of those. The end of school report. I wonder if Jesus was to write a report on you, on me, what would be in it? What would he say? If Jesus was to write a report on our congregation, how would he sign it off? What would he put in it? How would he describe us? Maybe like me, you have a wee bit of dread because, like the old school report, maybe it wouldn't be easy reading. What would Jesus say in his report? The letters at the beginning of the book of Revelation are seven letters written to churches. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. We read parts of the Bible and we think they've come out of nowhere. These were letters that were written to churches just like us. Churches like us who were struggling to work out what it is to serve God. What it is to follow Jesus Christ where he has placed us. And when we read these letters to the churches, it's like a report. It's Jesus looking at the church and saying, here's what I see. Here's what breaks my heart. Here's what I hope for. The church at Ephesus. Jack read that letter for us. The church in Ephesus was one of the churches that the Apostle Paul had planted. And if you read through the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see a flourishing church. A church that has a lot to commend it. A church that has a lot going for it. It's growing. It has a lot of influence where it's been placed. And as Jesus looks at this church in Ephesus, Jesus recognizes that there's a lot to commend. They're hardworking. They persevere. There's no tolerance of either evil or teaching that is false and leading people away from Jesus. And these people are even prepared to suffer for Jesus. There's a lot to commend the church in Ephesus. It's a pretty good read so far. It'll be a good report to have. But then comes this verse 4 of Revelation chapter 2. Jesus says, here's what I commend about you. But I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. So here's the church. We go back to Acts chapter 19. You can see this church growing and having great influence in its community. Here's the church, and Jesus looks at it and says, you know what? You've forgotten your first love. You've forgotten why you're here. You've fallen from a great height. That probably hadn't happened overnight. They hadn't just woken up one morning and thought, you know what? We'll just not love Jesus today as much as we did yesterday. They hadn't had a congregational meeting and decided we can do without loving Jesus as much as we have done in the past. It just happened. Slowly, almost imperceptibly, they began to drift away, to fall from that great height, to drift away from their first love. And they got into this situation where they're commended for their hard work. They're more concerned about the work of the Lord than they are about the Lord of the work. They're more concerned with pointing out the wrong in others than they are about looking at their own relationship with Jesus. Hearts that had been softened and warmed by Jesus Christ were now gradually becoming hard and cold again as they fall from their first love. And so Jesus gives them this wake-up call. Remember the height from which you have fallen. And then he says this, repent and do the things you did at first. Repent and do the things you did at first. Go back to those days. If not, well, the letter simply says the lampstand would be taken away. It would be this church just ceasing to be a church. Judgment would be immediate. A hard report to read. Even harder because possibly we recognize something of ourselves in it. Proud of our hard work, proud of the things that we stand for, and yet we've lost sight of our first love. This is New Year's Day. It's a good time to take stock. It's a good time to look back and to look forward. Any time of the year is a good time to assess our relationship with Jesus, but we have this day to do this. To hear this call to return to Him. To hear this call to return to our first love. Loving Him who first loved you. The Bible simply says it was while we were still in our sin that Christ died for us. That's the extent of His love. He didn't wait until we sorted our own lives out, got our own house in order, sorted out the problem of sin in our lives, because we could never do that. He loved us first. And we love Him because He has first loved us. And so we're called to repentance. We're called to turn away from that sin, to turn away from anything which encourages us to neglect our first love. So beginning a new year with repentance is to open this gateway to a greater intimacy with God. It's to open the door to a deeper relationship with God as we repent And because of that, repentance actually leads to relief and joy. Sometimes we think of repentance as being a dour, hard thing, and it's only sort of dour, hard Christians that do that sort of thing. Repentance actually opens us up to God, and it is a source of relief and joy in our lives. Here's what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise. If we turn from our sins, if we confess them, He will forgive us. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise. Who doesn't want to have sins forgiven? Who doesn't want to be purified? If you go back to Acts chapter 3, you find Peter and John going as they do to the temple to pray. As they go, there is a lame man sitting at the side of the road who holds out his can and rattles, looking for something for them. And we all know the chorus. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms. I can't remember. Gordy, he held out his palms. And this is what Jesus to say. So, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And that's Peter and John going to pray. Peter then uses this wonderful healing of that man to speak of the grace of God, to point others towards Jesus. And at one stage in Acts chapter 3, Peter says, repent then and turn to God and listen to this. But this is lovely. So that your sins may be forgiven, wiped out, and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repentance. Wiping out our sins and being refreshed in the Lord. What a great way to start. Any day. What a great way to start 2017. In repentance, where sins are wiped out and we are refreshed in the Lord. Who doesn't need sins to be forgiven? Who doesn't want to be refreshed in the Lord? When Jesus looks at that church in Ephesus, a church with so much potential but which has gradually lost its way, Jesus says, repent. Turn back. That your sins may be wiped out and you may be refreshed in the Lord. We need to return to our first love. To do the things we did at first. Over these next weeks and months, hopefully around here, we're going to be doing those things that we did at first so that we are encouraged in our love for Jesus. In the little pink diary that's in the pew, there are lots of things there. There'll be midweek Bible studies starting in place of our home groups for a while. And those midweek Bible studies will simply be helping us to grow in our faith. There's an evening of prayer coming up next Sunday evening. Just an opportunity to come to pray for the life and work and witness of our congregation. On the 15th, in a couple of weeks' time, we have an Alpha prayer course starting. Sometimes we say, I'd love to pray, but I really don't know what I'm expected to do. How do I do it? How do I pray in this situation? How do I cope in that situation? The Alpha prayer course is one of those opportunities to not only to ask those questions, but together to look for answers. In the middle of February, the old Seven Churches Fellowship is having a long weekend, where we just look at the whole area of our prayer lives. And there'll be more information come about that. So over these next weeks and months, there's a lot to help us come back to our first love. So these are opportunities. They're opportunities to either come into that saving relationship with Jesus for the very first time, or opportunities to come and to come back to our first love. Our mission statement in Ballywillan is simply to know Christ and lovingly to make him known. Do you know Jesus this morning? Because if you don't know Jesus, you will never make him known. But maybe, like the church in Ephesus, we might tick a box that says, I know Jesus, but in our hearts, that's grown cold. And this morning and over these next days and weeks and months, there are opportunities to come back and to grow in that faith, to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. The band are going to gather up and we're going to sing together a hymn that brings us back to look at Jesus, Christ alone, cornerstone.